This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good, usually. But this episode, we've got something a little different for you.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first something a little different host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second something a little different host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third something a little different host.
And we are joined once again by one of our favorite people in the whole wide world and one of our favorite creators and actors in the field of podcasting and audio fiction. Best known, of course, for appearing in a little show called Zero Hours. That is what most people know them for, because it was written by some brilliant, brilliant people whose names I am. They're escaping my mind right now. Doesn't matter. But his name is the one that's important. It's Brigham Snow. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, good. You could not get rid of me.
We would not want to.
Never.
But
you and your adorable dogs.
Oh my God, my dogs. My like life right now.
I mean, it's not a bad life to have right now.
Oh, the like seriously, during all of this, having Dodger and Gus, Dodger named after Oliver and Company, and Gus named after Gus Gus from Cinderella, because we are Disney gays here. But yeah, the best.
You have to live up to the branding, or otherwise they take your club membership away. I see.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
Got it. Well, Brigham, we thought, since we're lucky enough to have you back for another round here in the Bad Ideas remote studio, we thought it'd be a good opportunity to just talk a little bit about what it's like for you right now to be making things, creating things in the year of our Lord 2020 here in the darkest timeline. Especially since now you've been an actor in audio fiction for a long time. You're now also writing audio fiction now, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's for the past couple of years now, it's definitely I don't know, looking at different friends that make stuff, you guys included, and certainly Lauren, who kind of like grabbed my arm and yanked me into the podcasting world, like folks that just maybe even started as an actor or had different ideas of what they wanted to create and came into the podcasting space and wrote some really cool things. And I don't know, when I first started writing, I was always nervous to like consider myself a writer, because I was like, yeah, I'm writing.
If that ever wears off, let us know, because I still feel that way.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is like, I have so many things that like have been in development and like scripts are written and we're constantly pitching and stuff, but like may never see the light of day potentially. But like just the act of learning how to sit down and get out of my head of like me feeling like I'm just an actor because that was my entry point of being like, well, I'm an actor. I know how to like have emotionality in storytelling, at least in character. But then I realized like, interestingly enough, it's been the most work that I have been doing recently. I mean, I'm certainly doing like voice work, but, it's kind of been this, one feeds the other sort of thing. I keep kind of doing the Lin-Manuel Miranda thing where I'm like, I'm going to write a thing and I'm going to put myself right smack dab in the middle of it. And, there's my voice work right there. So,
not a bad way to do
it. Yeah. It's been interesting. No, it's been fun for sure. But Zach, you create and all that. Like, have you, coming from like voice acting and everything, has that been sort of like an interesting, I don't know, journey in terms of like just spreading your storytelling experience to all these different things that you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's always felt like storyteller is first, and then the other things kind of shake out, having sort of, you know, started, I guess, writing at a young age, but really finding my passion in film first. And then when my voice dropped, getting excited about voice acting, when the nickname became Mr. Movie Phone in, like, I want to say 7th grade. I think it's hard to pull it all apart, because it does feel like one sort of ball of yarn. I don't know. I can't imagine living at any other time as dark as this year has been.
Yeah.
Just trying to conceptualize what being a creator would have been like before the internet.
Right.
And the diversity that I think the internet and the, like, sort of relatively cheap and abundant digital tools of cameras and things, ubiquitous digital cameras and the ability to edit.
Well, that's kind of like, because when I moved to LA, I picked I knew that there was an acting studio that I wanted to go to, and that's the one that I met Lauren in eventually, and they would always tell us in that studio, it's like, there's no excuse to not, on the weekends or just around your day job and your regular hustle, to be making stuff with the other people in this class or friends, other people that you want to work with. And, you know, when Lauren jumped into, like, my Facebook Messenger one day, and we had, like, known each other from class a little bit, and she was like, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, I am not doing anything else, so let's just create a thing. And I think...
And little did he know that it was the most fateful decision of his immediate life.
I mean, I think of, like, I'm terrified of all the different ways I could have not met Lauren and gotten into podcasting, because what's been really great about podcasting is it's unlocked a love of, like, I grew up, my parents would go to the library and they would get cassette tapes of Abbott and Costello and George Burns, Gracie Allen, all these radio shows with, like, you know, I'm like 12 years old listening to, like, a Camel cigarette ad in the middle. But I would fall asleep to these things, and I had forgotten how much I loved audio storytelling. And I remember getting a little bit older and doing, like, theater stuff. And I remember, I was just thinking about this the other day, actually. There was a stage manager, like an adult, who said to me one day, he was like, you know, you've got a cool voice. Like, it's an interesting voice. I feel like you do really well with voice work. And I was like, oh yeah, I will do anything. Absolutely. You know, I at that point I was just like, I want people to pay attention to me. And let's be honest still, but, you know, there's more to it now, but like, finding all these things that I loved growing up and these little nudges in different directions, and then taking Lauren's lead and your guys' lead, and realizing that I can be more than just one thing in my storytelling. Like, I can express the different things that I want to say out there. Like, there's one show that we haven't announced yet, but I wrote over the summer.
Ooh.
And we're going into production next week.
Hell yeah.
And it immediately comes from a place of wanting to tell more stories that I can relate to being a gay man. So thinking back to, like, you know, pining over crushes and stuff like that, and really infusing it with positivity and not the sort of, like, wrenched feeling that I had when I was a kid. But it kind of, being able to tell stories that I want to tell in the way that I want to tell them selfishly has been an exciting prospect, for sure.
Now, when you are creating stories like this one, are you consciously setting aside one of the characters and going, kind of, you know, that one's mine, I will voice that character? Or does that kind of happen a little bit later?
No, it's an interesting process. I'm actually glad we're talking about this, because, like, I will pick a character based off of the sort of relationship. Like in this in this case, like, I knew I wanted to tell the story in a relatively, like, one place for the most part, between mostly two characters, and because I write pretty expansively, so this was an exercise in really keeping things tight and intimate and doing that. And I immediately knew the character that I wanted to play in this. But what happens with that, and I've realized that with a lot of the stuff that I've written, is I end up doing a first pass and I write my role from a place of insecurity, a place of almost making the character so vanilla or uninteresting or almost like a wall for the other voices to bounce off of, that inevitably what happens, like, and like any person that has seen my first drafts of stuff would see, like, their note usually is like, oh, I just wish this character had a little bit more to it, which is always ironic because it's the character I want to play. Huh. So I think learning how to, and I'm still learning it because I did it on this project. And once I did the final pass, I sent this stuff to Lauren and she read it. She's like, ah, there he is. That's great. but like, it's from a place of insecurity. Huh. And I think I'm always going to be at battle with that, finding the other people maybe more interesting and underestimating what I could bring to said scene or show or anything.
That's fascinating.
Is there an element of, and I know that I certainly wrestle with this as we write kind of our own scripts, of just kind of the knowledge of, with all the other characters, the ones that you're not setting aside for yourself, there's an element of, I need to make this person exciting because I'm going to have to sell someone on playing this part. So I need to kind of, because we're writing it and we want to get amazing people like maybe Brigham Snow to play this character, but if it's going to be Brigham, then it needs to be an awesome character and they need to just leap off the page.
You know what? Weirdly, I don't even think about that. I think maybe because, like, I have been so lucky of being in a community of people that, like, are game to do stuff. I've actually rarely come across actors or friends that haven't wanted to just do something because they want to collaborate or they want to work on something. I wouldn't say I necessarily write with that in mind, but I will say, like, today, for instance, when we were doing the last episode that we did, I was seeing, like, text coming through, and the actor that I'm working opposite was finally going through all the scripts. And I immediately, my stomach was dropping. And I was like, oh, God, what if he's already agreed to it and now he's going to back out because I'm awful. And so that's where that usually sets in. But, like, as an actor, like, I think there's so much crap out there and stuff that, like, so many people can't get work that, like, I think back to when Lauren asked me and it's like, I just wanted to tell a story in an interesting and empathetic way. And like, I think most people will say yes to these things. And surely when you asked me to do the thing, I mean, of course I want to work with you guys because you guys are awesome and I love you guys, but I know that the work is great. And then I read the script and I'm like, well, I love that I'm being offered this, like, as opposed to, like, having to apply to it, like, to have you guys reach out because you think I may be suited for this is, like, the ultimate just humbling experience. So it's I actually like picturing the reaction of the person that I'm sending a script to be like, hey, I wrote this with you in mind, which means that you affected me. And I think you can bring something to this. And regardless, like, even if you don't say yes to it, I want you to know that your existence or your artistry or what you have to offer has hit me in some way. And I think there's a responsibility that we have to each other as sort of like a lineage of storytelling to keep inspiring each other and creating and building off of it.
Absolutely.
That's my long-winded answer to that.
A great answer.
No, and it's a great answer. I definitely, for myself, always just feel the responsibility. Like, it's never excitement. It's always that, like, stomach dropping of, they're going to read it and they're going to hate it and they're going to hate me. And it sucks. and when, you know you're writing for, like, you know, this character, okay, Brigand has said yes to this, so that's who this character is going to be. It focuses you, I think it's like a good kind of fear.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh God, I'm going to have to write this for Cece Lynn Jacobs. It's gotta be fucking great.
It's people that raise your game, because like, exactly. I was thinking about when we were recording the college tapes, where we have some actors in this that I had never worked with that are incredible. And you sort of walk away from it being like, wow, he made me better. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's the same thing with writing, is once you know the pieces that you're playing with, or the pieces that you want to play with, I think it automatically sort of like has you shooting past the moon for something
exactly.
really, really special. But yeah, I don't know.
Did you get a piece of advice or steal anything that you would be comfortable sharing from something that you admire as you like sort of broke into writing? I'm just curious, like, what that transition was like and what breadcrumbs you might have for the listeners who are listening who are like, I could never write.
I think it's interesting because I have a lot of like music artist friends that write songs, and mm-hmm. and we would talk about truth in storytelling or in art or whatever we're sort of putting out there, and that a lot of the early stuff that I wrote, and by early I mean like if I had an idea that, oh, I'm gonna write a book and I'm like 13 years old, often what I was writing was like completely ripped from like a spy movie or something like that, and nothing that really spoke to me, because I was a closeted, nervous kid who didn't want to show who he truly was. So of course it was never going to like have any sort of like meat to it or anything, any sort of guttural thing behind it. So talking to like my songwriting friends and being like, you have to draw from your life and your truth, and as an actor, that's the only way to act, is to act from truth and from your life. And I remember when I finally came out in my acting class, because I was out like sort of in the world, but I definitely had this moment in an exercise we were doing. It was like a repetition exercise where you say one word and they bounce it back, and it just sort of mm-hmm. like changes and morphs. And I remember saying attracted, and it was this big sort of like air out of the room sort of thing. And it was with another, a male actor in my class. And from that moment on, it unlocked everything for me as an actor, because I was like, oh, I don't have to pretend anymore. I can just draw from where I'm coming from. Mm. So when I'm writing these stories, or I'm acting in these stories, it is a different person, but it has to come from truth. Whether it's anecdotal or feeling based, there has to be truth in it. Otherwise, it kind of just lays there and it's stale and it feels kind of like a copy of a copy of a copy. Mm. So it's scary. It's scary to write from a place of truth. 'Cause like, there's some stuff in this show that we're recording next week where like I dug into some like personal, emotional, mental, physical things from my past that I hadn't necessarily talked with anyone about, that when I see it on the page, I'm like, well, it lives. It lives there. It's really there. But I think that's a beautiful thing. So I think, again, long-winded answer is learning to create from a place of truth. Because if you're not creating from a place of truth, then like, honestly, sit down. Like, what's the point?
Right.
Like, you should be putting your heart out there in some way. Like, that's humanity. Like, that's the only thing we're interested in. So
I think it's great.
Yeah. And I don't know if you find this, but like, especially when I'm writing something and I know that it's drawing from a personal experience that I've had, or like some sort of piece of pain from my own life, when it becomes art, it becomes its own thing and it lives separately. It's like never, you know, you just exposing a piece of yourself. It's making it something else. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a transformation. You like imbue an object with something that is very personal to you that other people can draw from. I mean, it's the fact that, like, you know, the main run of the Bright sessions has ended, but I still have people jumping into my DMs every week saying, like, oh, this helped me. I listened to this with my parents and it gave me the courage to come out to them. Or, you know, I'm now going to a therapist because I really think I need help with this. And like, I look at it, it's funny when we talk about, like, personal things. I've had people on socials sort of ask me, like, do you want to keep playing gay roles? Like, aren't you afraid of being typecast or anything like that? And I always, like, it's funny because I always laugh at that. I'm like, fuck. That is the only shit I right. want to do. Like, truly, I have zero interest in, like, fitting to the same thing that's been out there. Like, the heteros have their shit. They've got it out there. It's constantly in front of me.
Right.
Like, anytime I see gay stories, whether it's the main thrust of the story or it's just an aspect of the character, like, I am just thirsty for it. I want to do it. I want to consume it because it that's how I connect to it. So, like, you can have your the straight rom-coms. I still enjoy them. I love them. It's great. But, like, for me, like, just give me a guy that I can relate to going after or dealing with a guy that I'd be interested in or a topic that I've struggled with or something. So
absolutely.
I hate to say that I think that that's all the time we have, but this was awesome, Brigham.
This was so much fun. I thank you so much for having me onto this. It's cool to talk with creative, interesting people and kind of just, I don't know, there's no expectations. It's just super fun. No bad ideas, you know?
Exactly. It's nice to have some fun. If people want to find things that you are doing, where should they look on the socials or on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Brigham Snow, and you can find me on Instagram at Brigham. And when I'm not there, I'm in a cage that Lauren keeps me in and then sort of hits it with a stick until I do something. So
we keep Zach in something that's very similar, so no worries there.
I hope she knows. She won't listen. Hopefully not.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.